Morning, let's open our Bibles to the book of Galatians. This is number 8 in the Your Serve series. Your Serve. It's Your Serve. Now, you know, I have a tennis background and have done that for years, but in thinking along the lines of putting this series together, the serve is important in tennis, and whoever serves well normally wins a tennis match. There are ways to look at that. You know, you are initiating the point when you're the one serving, okay? You take a position of command, literally, on the tennis court when you're the one who is going to start the point. Well, if all you ever do is hit the thing out or in the net, or like I had a dream since I was doing this, I think I told this to you guys the other day, I had a dream. It was more of a nightmare is what it was. I was standing on the court, and I was playing a match against somebody. And I'm thinking about this, your serve, your serve. And I'd toss the ball up, and I'd swing, and I missed every single time. And I'm like, I'm good. I know I am. I can't hit the ball. It's terrible. Finally, I said, I guess I just stink. Anyway, I woke up and I was like kind of in a sweat, you know. I'm like, all these people watching me and I'm swinging and missing and missing and missing. And I thought, you know, in our lives as believers, we have opportunities to serve and, as the scripture says, to serve others. And a lot of times we've swung and missed and actually didn't even pick up the racket to try to swing. So I think that serving is something that is important for you and I to get used to. Galatians chapter 5, by the way. For us to get used to being engaged in some kind of service to other people. Now, this is going to demand a little bit of mind renewal as we talk about ministry, because in the beginning of this series, when we speak about ministry and we talk about people in the ministry, ministry is a word that literally means service. So when you think of ministry, you need to think of service. When you think of minister, think of serve. I'm serving somebody. I want to serve the Lord. How many of y'all want to serve the Lord? Well, you should. Amen. And serving the Lord, how do you do that? We've talked about it, but how you serve the Lord is by doing something for his kids. How many of y'all as parents like it if somebody does something nice for your children? You do, don't you? I mean, that's very nice for people to treat your family kind. Well, the Lord looks at it that way. You didn't come up with that. God did. Okay? So when you do something nice for somebody else, that is literally a form of ministry. We have thought ministry is this, what I'm doing right now, standing up and preaching, put a mic on or a mic here or hold a mic or whatever it may be, and take the Bible and minister, you know. Well, that is, it is, but yesterday, wiping the baseboards in this building and putting the oil on it and all that they did, that was actually ministry. Amen. Doing the windows, that was ministry. Now, eating donuts, that's not ministry, okay? What's that? That's the reward of ministry, yeah, sure. Jim, when you were working on the cowl for the gate, that was, God saw that as ministry. We are so far off base with the way we look at ministry most of the time that it's all been limited to this. And this is a minister. Well, yeah, but so are you. So are you. My role's different than yours, but the body of Christ is way too big to have a handful of people trying to do all the ministry. See, that's man's idea. Man has it totally, completely backwards, as usual. That the ministers do all the work and everyone else just sits. It's not the way it's supposed to be. The body of Christ is supposed to be much, much more effective in the earth than we have been. Amen? Amen. Let me read you a verse of scripture, and this is out of God's Word translation. Some of you have seen the God's Word translation. It's a good translation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 reads this way. This is God's Word translation again. Live as free people, but don't hide behind your freedom when you do evil. Instead, use your freedom to serve God. Instead, use your freedom to serve God. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse 13. This is the foundation has been for the series, and we'll compare these two verses. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve who? One another. You see that? Serve one another. Now compare, but by love serve one another, as in Galatians 5, verse 13 there. He also talks about don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. One version says to do whatever you want to do. And don't try to make it like, well, I'm free in Jesus, I do whatever I want to do. No, there are still some guidelines that we are to walk by and live by. I know people want to get in this, well, you know, that's works, Pastor Dan. Oh, hold it a minute. Hold it. And I've had people say to me, you know, don't try to put me under bondage because, you know, you consider what I did sin. I say, hey, you know what? I'm not your judge. And the Word says what is sin. The Word says what is sin. And if you try to hide behind your freedom, that's what 1 Peter 2, verse 16 just said. Don't hide behind your freedom when you do evil. You are to live as a free person. Don't hide behind your freedom. Don't use it as an occasion to the flesh, is the way you put it in Galatians. Don't hide behind your freedom. In other words, don't come off with this, well, you know, don't try to put me under bondage, Pastor Dan. You know, I'm free in Jesus. So free that you can live to sin? No, I don't think so. You're not so free, you know, that you can live to sin. No, we're supposed to use our freedom to serve, not to sin, to serve, not to sin. Say that with me. We use our freedom, to serve, not to sin. See, this is the thing that folks get into. Well, I'm free in Jesus and I know God loves me and forgive me. I'll just do it anyway. And you know, your flesh will grab a hold of that in a heartbeat. I'm free in Jesus. Don't try to put me under bondage. I'm trying. Stop trying and start receiving. See, as long as you try, you can't overcome the temptations that the devil throws into your face. The only way that you ever succeed in resisting temptation is by taking what the Word says and speak the Word. Listen to me. You cannot resist a temptation with a thought. You get tempted to, I don't know, there's so many different temptations out there, but tempted to do something that you know is sin. And if you sit around and think on it long enough, eventually, if you don't stand up and say something to interrupt that flow of the temptation that's coming at your thoughts, you will cave. Do you hear me? Well, I don't believe that. I don't receive that, Pastor Dan. You're not going to put me under bondage. No one's trying to put you under bondage. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. You cannot resist a temptation, a thought with another thought. You have to interrupt the thought. And you interrupt the thought with word. Okay? Have you ever had a hard time concentrating when people around you are all talking? Tip, 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 tip. Have you ever heard somebody who talks like that? I have, actually. No, but the thing is, it's like, okay, you're trying to concentrate. You're trying to add some numbers in your head. And you ever do this? And you got family members, okay, children around you, and they're talking back and forth, and, you know, maybe your spouse. And it's like, will you just stop for a second so I can think? Come on, I'm not talking alone. If I am, you guys are all really odd because all of us have been there. I know you have. So when the temptation comes for you to go and do something that you know good and well is not right, what do? Interrupt it. Yeah, but I couldn't do that, Pastor Dan. Well, you better do it. The Bible says, okay, here's what you do. All right, the temptation is coming for you to go eat 6 donuts after service. Okay. That's not a temptation. That's lunch, Pastor Dan. No, but so you say, no, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that he who's given to an appetite should put a knife to their throat. Okay? I mean, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No, I will not do that in the name of Jesus. I mean, that's a good starting point right there. When the temptation comes to you, are you kidding me? I mean, embarrass yourself. Somebody say, embarrass myself. Hey, just blurt it out. I will not do that. People will think you're nuts, I suppose. But you know, it's like, no, I will not cheat on my wife in the name of Jesus. No, I will not cheat on my husband in the name of Jesus. No, I will not do this in the name of Jesus. No, I will not steal that. No, I will not compromise my stance in Jesus' name. But you've got to talk. You've got to say something. You sit there and try to resist just in your thoughts. Your thoughts will get overwhelmed. You keep running back. You know, the scripture says a dog always returns to his vomit. I know it's kind of gross, but the book of Proverbs says that. What is it? What do you think that's pointing at? It's when temptation takes root in a person and they don't resist it, they will automatically default to go back to it. Come on. Now, I'm telling you the truth, and the way to overcome is to take what the word says, speak it out, interrupt the temptation. Amen. All right, so let's go. The Lord doesn't need any help. The Lord doesn't need, you know, we talk about serving the Lord. How can I serve the Lord? Well, God, you need some money today. I've got some I can give you. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't want you loving your money, but God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need to be encouraged today. You go before the Lord in prayer and, you know, it's like, Lord, you know, I'm having a real hard time today. I really need some encouragement. And you hear God interrupt you. Hey, daughter or son, you know, I don't feel so hot myself today, so why don't you just leave me alone? Have you ever heard God say that to you? Have you ever heard the Lord say, you know, I'm having a bad day too? Isn't it a good thing that we don't have that? God doesn't need your encouragement. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't, he doesn't need you to help him. But guess who does need your encouragement? Guess who may need some money? Guess who may need some help? Your brothers and sisters. And as I said before, it's always nice to help somebody's children. And if you can do that, the parents are always very grateful for it. And you don't do it just to, you know, so the parents will be grateful. You, out of the goodness of your heart, step out and help somebody. Well, praise God. The parent is going to be happy about that when they find out. Well, God is happy when we serve one another, when we help one another, when I encourage you, when you need encouragement. I slip you some money, and the Lord said, give this to them, and do that, praise God. It's a blessing. But you see, so often people bump ministry off. That's not ministering. That's not. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 25, verse 40. You'll remember this verse of scripture. It said, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. Come on. What did in Acts chapter 9, verse 4, what did Jesus say to Saul? Saul, Saul, why persecutest, the King James says, why are you persecuting me? And Paul could have said, what? I mean, persecute you? I'm not persecuting you. I don't even know who are you? But the fact is, Jesus takes it personally when people do something good or do something bad to his kids. Say amen, because it's true. If you've done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. And that's good or bad. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul saying, oh, I don't even know who you are. What was Saul doing? He was having Christians arrested, ultimately thrown into the lion's den. Sure. So Jesus takes it personally, you know, he does. He takes it personally. So I'd be very cautious how you deal with God's people. And so you do something nice for a brother or sister in Christ. The Lord sees that. He will reward you accordingly. I'll tell you what, you keep coming against other believers. We need to learn to do something that's pretty simple. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a button right here and a little hole right there? Button your lip. Some of you might need 5 buttons. Ooh. Okay, I'm just teasing you. But the fact is, the Lord does take it personally. We need to be careful what we are saying. Amen? Yeah. The devil tries to get you to talk and say bad things about the people of God, about your brothers and sisters. You may not agree with everything that you see before you today. You may not agree with the way I'm dressed. I don't know. You may not agree with that hair. Whatever. I don't care what you think on that, okay? You know what I'm saying? But so we don't need to be offensive one toward another if we don't agree on some things. We can still walk in love and serve one another. Somebody hands me a comb or a scissors when we're done, I'll know. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 1. So the Galatians 5, where we're to serve one another, and Romans 12, verse 1, Galatians 5, verse 13, Romans 12, verse 1, have been our two foundations for all of these messages in this Your Serve series. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. We've said it all along. It's a very reasonable request of the Lord to ask you to, and he asks you. He doesn't say, I'm going to make you present your body a living sacrifice. He asks you to do that. And the choice is yours, whether you're going to or not. The choice is yours. The choice is mine, whether I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice before the Lord. It's a reasonable request in light of everything that he's done for us. Now, he has provided health and well-being for us, but you're not provided health and well-being. You're not provided prosperity into your finances. He hasn't made all these covenant rights available to you so that you can be more comfortable while you're watching television and ignoring the Bible. I got my healing, now I can do what I want to do, or now I'm blessed so I can go spend this money over here on this to make me happy and ignore the Lord. You know, one of the things that really gets to me as a minister of the gospel is when somebody asks me to pray and believe God with them regarding a job situation, and they get a job, and then they get blessed, and God does something wonderful for them, and they get blessed. I've seen people get really good jobs and be blessed, and then quit God. And that's like the classic spoiled kid. You know what I'm saying? I got what I want, now I forget who you are. I don't mean me, I'm talking about the Lord. I'm talking about won't read their Bibles, won't come to church, won't think about the things of God, go live a torrid lifestyle because they got, you know, the finances now to do it. God's not going to bless you so you can do that. You know, you can get blessed and turn your back on the Lord, and that's a really stupid thing to do because as sure as we're seated and standing here today, that's like putting your money into a bag with holes in it. You're going to end up in trouble at some point. So you should remember Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth in order that he may establish his covenant as he sware unto thy fathers here this day. Amen. Amen. You remember Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. Remember that? And in fact, in the Word, it said that she was like really sick. You study that a bit. You'll find out this woman was in serious shape. Jesus went in, rebuked the fever. She was healed instantly. She gets up and wants to make a meal for everybody. Now, come on. Is this not a good use of a healing? Well, now, you know, some people would say, well, you know, you're recovering, so just sit there and we'll tend to you. No, no, no. She was totally healed, totally well. She gets up and wants to make people supper. That's why you receive a healing, so you can serve. Do you hear me? So you can serve. That's a perfect example of that. Write this down if you're taking notes, and memorize it if you're not. But no happiness will ever happen in your life. Now, I know it's a very, very strong statement. No happiness will ever happen in your life unless you are genuinely doing something that is of benefit to the body of Christ. In other words, you'll never have happiness unless you're doing something that is genuine in its origin of why you're doing it, because you want to help somebody in the body. You'll never find happiness if you don't serve. A selfish life is always an unhappy life. That's why folks can't figure it out. I've got everything, and yet I'm not happy. Well, why would that be? You've got everything, but you're not happy. You know what's missing? The serving. The serving part. The doing something for somebody else part. Why? What you're doing as a believer, especially a believer doing this, is ignoring serving the Lord. And again, that has a dead end to it if that's the way a person's going about their life. They're not reaching out and helping anybody else, not attempting to serve other people. I mean, this is just a really serious thing. And especially in this day of 2021, where we are at right now as a nation. I mean, you know, so many people in this country have so much, so much. We're so blessed that you can get to the point where all you ever do is think about your next blessing. And you're not thinking about how you could help somebody else. I ministered to a lady yesterday who had was missing a limb. And the Lord spoke to me, and I had left here, and I was driving, and so what happened was I thought, well, I'll bless that person. You know, so you ever just do that? You look around, you just want to bless somebody. I was a stranger, man. Let's just mess up their day. You know what I'm saying? Let's just go give them some money, and they'll look at you like, what in the world? I had a guy do that to me one time. He said, I don't need that. I said, really? I said, I just wanted to buy your meal. Remember that was down in, where? Someplace in Texas, yeah, but Waco, whatever you call it. Waco, Texas, Waco, Texas. And this guy was like, I don't need that. I said, look, I didn't say you needed it. I said, the Lord told me to do it, so I'm going to do it for you. I already paid it. It's done. And then he's like, he was kind of a rough looking guy, you know, and he's like, oh, well, I really don't need. I said, I didn't say you did. Just received the blessing, and I walked away. I mean, I'm going to argue with the guy, you know, like he's too big to argue with, for sure. I mean, how stupid can you be? Somebody buys your meal. You're just trying to be nice, and people get this. I don't need any charity. Okay, I'll spend it on me, you know. I mean, if you don't want to. No. But anyway, the Lord was talking to me about doing this, and so I was driving, and the Lord said, go over there. And I had an address. I had written it down off a message that I got yesterday. I think I told you about that, Eleanor, and some of the others in here. And so I went over there and was able to minister to this woman, and it was a blessing. And you know, I'm just saying, when you serve other people, when you do something, just do it, makes you feel good. Do you hear me? And you affect people. And that's the key. We need to be affecting people with the kindness, the goodness, the love of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus said it this way. He said that if we'd keep his commandments, we would abide in his love, or if we would abide in his love, we'll keep his commandments. It's in John chapter 15, verses 9 through 13. It's a whole discourse there. But he said this, then your joy would be full. Your joy is full when you walk in love and you reach out and serve other people. We are to love one another. And that's what's missing in the body of Christ in so many ways today. People are kind of forgetting about the love message. It's all about getting our needs met. And yeah, and one of the quickest ways to get your needs met is to reach out and meet somebody else's need and bless somebody else, serve somebody else, do something kind for somebody else. Amen. You want your joy to be full? That's what Jesus is talking about. John 15, verses 9 through 13. You can look that up later. Here's another one for you to write down. A selfish life is a miserable life, an unhappy life. A selfish life is a miserable life, an unhappy life. On the flip side, the giving life is a fulfilling life when you give. When you give and reach out and serve other people. As this is something that we taught Austin when he was, I mean, from baby on, literally. He'd get $20 for a birthday gift or something from one of his aunts, uncles, or whoever. I mean, when he was a kid, he said, okay, what we do with that, all right, you get all of it except 10%. What's 10%? Well, that'd be $2 you give back to the Lord. And we taught him how to tithe from a real little guy on. To this day, he doesn't even think about it. And you could ask him, I mean, don't take my word for it, but ask him, but the man tithes. And I think tithing is something that, what it is, it's a check on your carnality. Do you hear me? Now, does it have to come here? No. It needs to go unto the Lord. You need to be obedient in your giving and do what the Lord tells you to do. Amen? So a selfish life is a miserable life, an unhappy life. The giving life is a fulfilling life. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Let's go there. Let me have my phone, honey, please. Now, I set this up as long as it stayed, because I'm going to read you some verses out of different translations. Okay. There they are. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, this is, we've asked the question in the series, who is to do the work of the ministry? And most people think it's the pastor. It's the minister. It's those in the ministry. You guys are the ones that are supposed to do all the work. I do not recoil at work. I really don't. I don't mind doing work. I don't mind getting my hands dirty. Anybody that knows me knows that that's true. But that's not the role of the pastor, and we'll find it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And also there are four other ministry gifts that are included in this list. Verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. There they are, the five public pulpit ministries. For what purpose? Verse 12, for the perfecting or maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry. Do you see that? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, wait a minute, Pastor, you're the minister. We're not ministers. Yes, you are ministers. See, I've been telling you that all along. You are ministers, and this is what this verse is saying. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Version, and let me read this out of the Amplified right here. So Christ himself, excuse me, this is NIV. I'll do Amplified in a moment. Here's NIV. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service. You hear me? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become perfect or become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. But that's through 13. But it's verse 12, to equip his people for works of service. Do you hear me? That's the role of the minister, to equip the people for works of service. In other words, get moving. Do you hear me? You are not called to sit. You are all called to serve. That's what Galatians 5, verse 13 said. We're supposed to serve one another. You want your joy to be full? Serve one another. If you don't, You won't be happy. You'll think you're getting somewhere, but you really are not. If you want to be happy, you need to be in that position of serving in some fashion or one fashion or another. Now, the Amplified version of this. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. Here's verse 12. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. We are called to build up the body. I'm called to instruct you so that you can go and serve and help build up the body of Christ. Do you see that it's not the only those in the pulpits? People have taken that lazy, excuse me for saying it this way, but this is the absolute truth. It's a lazy route. We pay him, let him do it. Come on, let's just be honest. That's exactly the way it's been. And a lot of folks think that way. And they're like, well, he's in ministry. He's supposed to do it all. Oh, the pastor, his wife, the staff, everybody, they're supposed to do the work of the ministry, and we contribute and we sit and we listen and we grow. And if we feel like it, we'll come back. I got a few. Yeah. But the fact is, that's not God's plan. That's not Bible. It's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be being taught in the Word. I'm giving, in fact, in this whole series, encouraging you to get involved in some way. Now, we have lists out there of places where you can volunteer in the church, and we'll begin implementing those new signups into those areas of ministry. But there is something that you can do. I can't make you do anything, and that is the absolute truth. None of you are too old. None of you are too young. None of you, well, Brentley might be a little young to start, but anyway, you know, you have a part to play in the ministry here at Solid Rock. You can do something. You can be, if nothing else that you're doing, you are spending some time in prayer for the church. That is one. You are saved so you can serve. You're saved so you can pray. And praying is serving in a spiritual sense. It sure is. Thank you, Lord. So who's supposed to do the work of the ministry? Who is it? It's the saints. The fivefold that we just saw here in verse 11 are to equip the body, instruct the body, equip them so they can do works of service to help build up the body. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 quickly. 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to wrap it up. 1 Corinthians 3. So it's important that we not, you know, think, well, the pastor's just trying to bump all the work off on us, you know. He doesn't want to work. He only works one day a week as it is, you know. Now he doesn't even want to have to do all of that. That's not true. You have to be doing something. And if the whole body is functioning the way they should function, find your niche. Find the place you can serve. Find something you can do. You see a need, go meet it. I know, I have somebody said to me, and you know, I didn't even think of that, what you did yesterday with the silk plants. I didn't think of that, you know. But she came in and did some stuff with the cleaning of plants. And that's, you know, a wonderful place to serve. Something that has to be done. You know, I see a need. I won't say, well, Pastor, I see a need over here. I see there's a need. Why don't you step up and do it? You could tell me so I can do it? Come on, let's be honest here. Really? No, see, this is where the thing has been. Well, like, I can't just. Well, now look, if you don't know how to do woodwork, don't come in and just take it on yourself to start tearing woodwork off and trying to replace woodworkers. And don't, you know, we won't let you do that, okay? Understand? Well, I feel I'm supposed to play the guitar, but you don't know how. We're going to have a problem with that. There's some areas that, you know, it can roll over into foolishness. But if you say, well, you know, there's some, I could do this, I could step up. You know, I mean, look for areas to help other people out, help in the work of the Lord here. It's a wonderful thing to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 7. God's idea is that we work. We're supposed to be laboring here in the earth to build up the body of Christ. It's something that we're all called to do. You may not instruct the body, but we're supposed to be doing things within to build up the body as a whole. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7, look at it. So it reads this way. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You see that? For we are what? Laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, I'll tell you something right now. You and I are the building. We're the body of Christ. This is this building, and it's not made of like this building. You have, you know, you've got wood, you've got concrete, you've got the mortar, what have you, brick, and different places, not on this one, but out at the gate. You've got all these different materials. The building he's talking about here is not made up of those kinds of materials. Do we get that? Sure we do. Guess what it is made up of? Living stones. Who's a living stone in here today? Are you a living stone? Oh, yeah. We are living stones. This is how the body is built up. So I look at this and think, you know what? You and I are working on the same building Paul was working on. You get it? Peter was working on. James, John, others through all this. What floor are we on? Some of you guys in the trades in construction, you know, if you're building a multi-level facility, I mean, you're building up and you're trying to finish the thing off. I mean, what floor are we on in this building? It's a huge building. It's called the body of Christ. Where are we at? Now, he knows how to put things together. And I want to read this to you. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. So jump over there quickly. Ephesians 2. So God knows how to build the body. And he's going to use each one of us in particular to encourage others to make this thing gel, to make it flow together, to cause it to be strengthened, to cause it to be, the word in the Bible that's used is edified. The word for edify or edification and building are the same word in Greek. An edifice, you ever hear of an edifice? You know what an edifice is? Sure you do. So this building that is being built is being built up. It's made of lively stones, one upon another. Look at Ephesians 2. I've got to show you this. This really struck me. Verse 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, remember, in whom, that is in Christ, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Do you see that? Fitly framed together. I want to tell you something right now. The Lord knows what stone fits in nicely next to you. Do you hear me? In the building of this building, have you ever noticed that when you're around certain brothers and sisters, it just, the fit in Jesus is so natural. It just feels right. Do you hear me? It feels right. It's like, and I've said this before, it's kind of like the fit with that person in this church body is just so natural. It just, you can tell that the Lord is behind it. We've had people that have come into the church body here in throughout the years, and they came in and they're like trying to change everybody, trying to straighten everyone out. Tell this one he's wrong. Tell that one they're wrong. Tell this woman over here she doesn't know what she's saying. Blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. And you can just sense. I mean, first off, the enemy will send people in now and again to cause strife, right? But then there are those that come in and they just, it's just not a good fit. They just don't, they feel like a square peg in a round hole. And then other times a person comes in, they just gel. You know what I'm saying? Fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. What's your body called? Your body's called the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In whom also you are also builded together for a habitation of God. A habitation of God through the Spirit. What is the church? It's not this physical building. I can tell you right now, the church is the body. The church is the body. And the church needs to function together, serving one another, serving others, not just everybody here in this place. Everyone's serving each other. That's is fine here in the body to do things, but we need to also serve others out there. Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. And be kind. Amen. Ooh, boy. You were doing fine until you said that, Pastor Dan. We need to be working on the building. What's your contribution? What is your contribution to the building up of the building? Not this physical building. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Have you been sharing your faith? Have you been serving others? Have you been asking the Lord, what can I do? How can I get involved in being a servant? How can I do something that will make a difference in somebody's life? What's your contribution? When somebody comes out, you know, and you know, if you go in a building and somebody contributed heavily to the construction of a building, where their name's on the side of it, right? That's why a lot of people do that. I know that, but whatever. That's probably their reward if that's what they were after. But the fact is, if somebody paid for something in a hall, paid for all of the tile, you'll see a little plaque now and again. It'll say, you know, the construction of this was donated by, and so on and so forth, and whatever. What's your contribution in the body? What have you done that would be considered a contribution that has helped build up the body of Christ? Now, I'm not asking you to reveal that so that we can either go, oh, or, oh, really? That's all you've ever done? That's not the purpose. The purpose is for you to look at it. What's your contribution? What is your contribution? And can you increase in what level of contribution you're making over the course of even this year yet? Where are you at? You know? Let's go to Titus chapter 3. We'll read, I've got some more verses, but I don't think I'm going to read them all today. Titus, it's after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 3. I want to read this to you out of another version right quick. Let's see, here it is right here. Titus chapter 3, look at verse number 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses that they may be or that they be not unfruitful. It's talking about people within the body. Let me read this to you out of another version. It'll make better sense. Our people should learn, this is a contemporary English version, Titus 3 verse 14. Our people should learn to spend their time doing something useful and worthwhile. Now, does that make sense? You know, you ought to be doing something useful and worthwhile with your time. No one calls you to, you've not been called to sit and not do anything. You're supposed to get involved. Now, the Douay Rheims Bible reads this way, and let our men also learn to excel in good works for necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. God's Word translation. Our people should also learn how to set an example by doing good things when urgent needs arise so that they can live productive lives. All it's saying is we need to be involved. And nobody is called to not be involved. Nobody is called to be idle. In fact, the scripture says if a person is idle, it leads to trouble. Idle hands, I know, are the devil's workshop. That is not scripture, but it does preach and it is true. The principles there in the word, idle hands. There is something about many hands. The scripture speaks of a lot of hands make and lighten the load, right? You get more people involved, things get easier to get done, you know, because we need to be people that are thinking along the lines of what can I do to be involved in building up the body? What are you willing to do to build up the body of Christ? Titus 2, verse 14, you're right there in Titus, just go back a chapter. 2, verse 14, talks about about Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, or a purchased people, literally. And it says, zealous of good works. Are you zealous in your life to do good things for others? Are you zealous to serve the Lord? Well, yes, Pastor Dan, I want to serve the Lord. Well, we just found out in Galatians 5, the way you serve the Lord, you serve one another. Get involved. Be kind. Do nice things for people. I mean, a lot of folks are getting on that bandwagon in some of the churches in town here. You know, you see signs, people making little yard signs. Be nice. That's pretty pathetic that you have to tell people to be nice. You be nice. Quit that cussing, you know. Just be nice. And there's nothing wrong with, of course, being nice. But isn't it a shame that we have to tell people to be nice? Because after all, I'm free, you see, and you're not going to put me under bondage, and I am one who speaks my mind, and if I don't feel like being a nice guy today, I'm not going to be a nice guy because I'm no phony Christian. You are a Christian, right? You know, you're supposed to be nice, walk in love. Jesus wasn't always nice. Everything Jesus did, he did in love. He may have been stern, but he always did it in love. When he flipped tables, he did that in love. He was disgusted with the sin that they were walking in. But we need to learn how to separate being disgusted with a person's sin in their life and being disgusted with them. God hates sin. We are to hate sin. He loves the sinner. You and I are supposed to love the sinner too, even if that happens to be a brother or a sister. But I will say this. A person who is walking in sin and wants to be just brought in and coddled like they are walking in right standing with God, like they're walking holy, it's wrong for us to do that. It's wrong for us to act like somebody who's, you know, the scripture speaks about a brother who's a fornicator. Don't even hang out with him. Okay, do you hear me? You don't act like, well, you know, you're a fornicator and I love, yeah, I do love you, but I'm going to tell you right now what you're doing is sin. Not because I say so, but because the word says so. You judging me? Well, the word's already judged you, okay? Don't hide, 1 Peter 2, verse 16, don't hide behind the evil that you're trying to commit and try to cover it up with, you know, I'm free in Jesus kind of stuff. So we need to be aware that a person who doesn't want to work, the Bible says, shouldn't eat, right? Idleness. Yeah, well, Pastor, I'm believing God. Are you? How hard are you really believing? Why don't you get a job? I'm sorry if this steps on your toes, but I'm really not because it's what the word says. The Lord's called me to ministry. Well, Paul was a tent maker, and I was bivocational for a number of years. You know, had a job outside of the church. So get your hands dirty. Get busy. Don't reward idleness. Don't condone laziness. And, you know, I mean, the Lord wants us to be loving toward one another, but sometimes it's a word that needs to be spoken. You know, you're well able to work. You need to work. I've had to say that to people before. You know, you want me to hand you money because after all, I'm supposed to serve you and be kind to you and all that. Yeah, amen. But when you're able and you don't want to work, I got a problem with that, and I'm not going to finance that. Come on, this is just some basic stuff. So we have to kind of look at the other side of it when we're going to serve one another. It doesn't mean let people take advantage of you. It's getting quiet in here. Well, amen. But I will say this, that, you know, when it comes to stepping up and helping people, this church has been very good about that, and we will and will continue to do that and be kind and all. But we do take it seriously, the commands to be upright with what the Lord has blessed us with. And so we'll do that, and amen, amen, praise God. So find something that you can get involved in to build up the body. Please stand to your feet. There are ways that you can build up the and add to the building, if you will, that being the body of Christ. Sharing your witness with people is essential. Essential. Do you hear me? Do not shy away from sharing Jesus. Do not shy away. Well, it's such a little thing. The Bible says, I'm going to grab that bottle of water right there. The Bible says, whoever gives a bottle of water, it doesn't say a bottle, but it says a drink of water. Whoever gives a plastic bottle of water to somebody gets blessed. It doesn't say that. It says whoever will give a cup of water, okay, will not lose their reward. That's a blessing. How can you bless others? What can you do to bless somebody? How can you be a blessing? Start off by being nice. And, but find something to do. Find some way to be involved. Pray. Pray for each other. Pray for one another. You know, get involved. Come on, bow your head with me. Let's go before the Lord right now. Father, we thank you and praise you that we are interested in building and working on the building of the body. I thank you and give you glory, Lord God, that there are so many ways that we can reach out to other people. There are ways that we can get involved with other people's lives. And we'll come to find out that when we make that effort and take that step, people are so grateful that somebody cares. Father, I thank you and praise you for boldness in my brothers and sisters, boldness in myself, Lord, to step up and do those things, to serve, to be the witness that you want us to be before a world that needs Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. We give you the praise and the glory this day for building us up and strengthening us as we in turn go out and minister to others. So, Lord, we just want to tell you that we love you today. And we praise your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, if y'all can agree, please say amen. Amen. You say, well, it's kind of vague. How can I get involved? Well, we have a list out there. There's a list of, and there's numbers associated with areas that you can be involved to help out here at the church. I mean, it's not limited to that, but if you can think of something that you could do, I mean, maybe you need to write, send cards to your entire neighborhood. Some of you live in neighborhoods where you could just go and get all the, you know, you don't know the names of the person, but you could go and jot their addresses down and say homeowner or whatever and send a nice card, just a word of encouragement, something. There are things that we can do. We just many times don't think outside the box. We're all locked into, well, the pastor will think of it. You know, or that's the way the ministry. No, get busy asking the Lord what you can do. How can you serve? How can you serve other people? And in doing that for God's people, man, you're blessing the Lord when you do it. Amen. Let me look here. I've got a couple of prayer requests.